The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he became furious. He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be consoled since they were no more. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Surprising how many feasts of martyrs there are in the days that follow Christmas. It's not like that in the feast days that follow Easter. Following Easter is nothing but glory and hallelujah, right? Forever and ever, amen. But not after Christmas. There's martyr after martyr after martyr. So much red, so much blood. Why is that? It's because Christ our Lord was not born into this world to be glorified by this world. He was born into this world to redeem it. To redeem it by love. And when love meets with evil, love suffers. The feasts of the martyrs that we celebrate in the days after Christmas are a prefiguring of our Lord's own suffering and death for the salvation of his people. Of course, on the day after Christmas, we celebrate the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr. And just yesterday, we celebrate the feast of St. John, who would have been a martyr had he not been miraculously delivered, and this on more than one occasion, at least twice, maybe more. Miraculously delivered from what would have been his martyrdom. Tomorrow, Feast of St. Thomas Becket, Archbishop of Canterbury, who was murdered in his own cathedral. And today, of course, the saddest feast day of the entire year, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. And you heard the story of the Holy Innocents right here in the Gospel. King Herod, upon learning that a boy child has been born into his realm with the claim to be king, has every child under the age of 2 in Bethlehem and all of its vicinity put to death. An act of horror so brutal that even Caesar Augustus condemned it. Now, some people will look at the Feast of the Holy Innocents and they'll ask, how can these little babies, how could they possibly be martyrs for Christ? They didn't even know what they were doing. We answer that by asking a question in return. What is martyrdom? Martyrdom is what happens when one person takes the life of another in hatred of the faith, odium fidei, and God sustains that person in grace while it happens. That's martyrdom. It's important to understand this. Martyrdom is not an achievement of the one that is killed. Now, some martyrs do will their own martyrdom. They love God and they love their neighbor, even through the very act of being killed. People like St. Stephen, people like Thomas Becket. Some saints would have died martyrs' deaths, but it was just never asked of them, right? People like St. John or our very own St. Therese, patroness of our parish. Then there's the Feast of the Holy Innocents. We call these the proto-martyrs because they set the stage and the example for every martyr that is to follow. Their martyrdom is not in any way, shape, or form their own achievement. People ask, how did they even die for Christ? They died for Christ because they were decoys. Their lives were taken so that Jesus might live. And as the fathers of the church said, their voices were too young to speak, but nonetheless they sang the Lord's praises. Their limbs too small to fight in battle, but already they carry the palm of victory. Now, the reason why I mention all this is because in years gone by, we would come to the Feast of Martyrs, and I would turn to my good congregation assembled before me, and I would say something like, "You know, it's very unlikely that anything like this would ever happen to you." But now, I'm not so sure anymore. I'm really not. Therefore, please remember two things about martyrdom. Two things. First of all, martyrdom is not the achievement of the martyr. The entire thing is grace. Don't ever fret and worry about what you'd do if you were stared down by the lion's teeth. Because the entire thing is a gift. One who is in the habit of saying yes to the grace of God in every other circumstance of life would probably do pretty well if God ever gave them this grace in this particular circumstance of life. Understand that first. It's no achievement of the one who is killed. And secondly, please know that if it ever happens to you or anyone you love, please know that it is a very, very great honor. God can give no greater honor to any soul in this life than to let them die a death so glorifying of himself. Jesus says, "No greater love has one for another than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." And you know the ancient teaching on martyrdom. What happens to a martyr? Straight to heaven, right? Straight to heaven. The fathers of the church say that the blood of the martyrs is outshone only by the waters of baptism in its efficacy in washing away sin. The Feast of the Holy Innocents, though, it teaches us a pretty important practical lesson as well. It helps us to remember what to do when our sufferings don't make any sense. Because these little children that were killed, they didn't know what they were doing. And you think about their poor mothers. They didn't know what a martyr was. They didn't know who Christ was. They only knew the terrible horror of this injustice that was done to them, a suffering that makes no sense. Christians are uniquely qualified to make sense out of sufferings that make no sense because we have the crucifix. This is the ultimate example of innocent suffering, and we know it is not the end. God never allows innocent suffering to be the end, especially when that innocent suffering is done in his name. We must be just ever so slightly patient to see what good God brings out of it. And when you're faced with suffering that you do not understand, just a few little things to do. Number one, you look at a crucifix and you prayerfully pray over what you see. Number two, very, very slowly and deliberately say the words of the Our Father, especially those words, "Thy will be done," or the words of the Hail Mary, very slowly and very deliberately. I'm certain that this will help restore you to peace. And not only you, one of the great things about our Christian faith, we who can find peace in suffering that makes no sense have the unique ability to offer that peace to others, and we are called to do so. Just a little thought now for the Feast of the Holy Innocents, the feast day of suffering that appears to make no sense. Ask for their prayers to help us today to remember that God is always good and always triumphant over the forces of evil. Holy Innocents, proto-martyrs, pray for us.